You're listening to the Glass City Church Podcast. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." The book of Revelation 4, 1 through 11. So that was the scripture from yesterday's sermon. Now, Jeff, obviously your sermon yesterday was more of a topical sermon, and that's obviously not out of the typical mold for you. It was a topical sermon on idolatry of Christmas. One of the things, just for people who don't know, the differences between topical and expository exegetical preaching, if you could define kind of the differences of those, and really, I mean, what is there such a thing as topical exposition? Could you give me some definitions so we're on the same terms?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of different varieties within those two headings.
Okay.
I think at the you know, at the fundamental level, so topical is, as the name would imply, starting with a topic, starting with an idea, starting with a kind of a point you want to make, and then finding texts to back that up. Whereas expositional preaching is typically starting with the text. So you're either starting with an idea or a topic, or you're starting with the text. Now, in that, like for instance, yesterday, you know, we did 11 verses of Revelation 4, so we did the whole chapter, and you know, we preached through the chapter, so that in that way it was expository, but we pulled topics more so than getting into, you know, doing all the language work and things like that. It was more of a, you know, looking at the kind of the big themes that were in there. And so, you know, yes, it was more of a topical approach to an expository, you know, preaching of the whole chapter. And so, yeah. And there's merits for both. I know people who, you know, would prefer always expository all the time, and I think that, you know, I think that preaching in the church should overall, you know, be expository, because we want to let God's word lead where we go. We want to let God's word dictate what is preached. But I think topical, I mean, there's obviously themes in the Bible. You know, there's topics that are covered in every book of the Bible, and I don't think it should be a legalistic thing where it's either one or the other, but never,
yeah,
never, you know, either, whatever. But yeah, so yesterday was a little more on the topical side for me because, you know, as I prayed and asked God, you know, what do you want us to, where are you leading us? You know, what do we need to, what do you have for us? You know, I was just really looking around and noticing, you know, the way that the world teaches us how to worship, because they do. You know, the Christmas season is a very clear picture of what it means to reorient your life around something. And that's the definition of worship, is ascribing ultimate worth to something so that it directs everything, so that it informs everything, so that it dictates and kind of, you know, gives us the cues. And so, and that happens around Christmas time with people who don't love Jesus. But they get excited about their rituals. They get excited about their traditions. They get excited about their expectations. You know, whereas Christians are called to worship Christ, even in Christmas time, even amidst all the other things that are going on. And I love the way that Revelation 4, I love the way that John articulates, you know, what it looks like for just this crazy, cool worship scenario that he gets to see when he's in the spirit, when he sees the door open, and he gets to see the throne. You know, he gets to see what happens around the throne. I mean, what a beautiful and just exciting and hope-giving picture of what's to come.
Yeah. And so, I mean, how would you... yesterday you talked about traditions and how they're not necessarily bad. Where do you think that line is from traditions being traditions that are okay to the crossing the line of, hey, like this is, we're ascribing too much worth to this?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and that's going to be different for everyone.
Of course.
I'm just trying to avoid coming off legalistic at all because, I think that anytime a tradition subverts the your affections away from Christ, this is not a, because I could very easily imagine a scenario where, well, I don't want, if there's something I don't want to do, I'm gonna throw down the Jesus card and be like, no, because that's gonna take my affections away from Christ, and it's like, well, no, you're just being selfish now, and you're trying to use Jesus to justify your selfishness, so you're
double selfish.
Yeah, it's like, man, that's a really bad place to be. But yeah. I think that there are definitely things that just try to steal our affections, that try to compete for our loyalty, and that's going to be different for everyone. But I think that it's easy to see. You know, I think that if we're being honest with ourselves, you know, I mean, there's, I counsel a lot of pre-marrieds and newly marrieds. Where one of the biggest things that's across the board is like, well, once we get married, now we're trying to have, we're trying to combine our family traditions. And so now I got to go to my in-laws and my family. Now I got to go do this and that. When you have kids, it's even crazier because now the expectations from everybody else to be everywhere at every point, you can definitely lose your focus on Christ because you're trying to keep everybody else happy. Mm-hmm. I think that's true when it comes to budgeting. I feel like, and that's a pride thing. It's like, well, I want to make sure I get great gifts for everybody. Mm-hmm. Well, now what's, why? Why do you want to get great gifts for everybody?
Yeah.
So that I look like I'm a big shot or I've got it all together, or so that I don't get a gift that's better than the gift that I give. Like there's so many layers aspects, facets to the ways that we just completely chuck Jesus out the window. And it's so easy to see it in the Christmas season because it's such a consumeristic mindset. And so it's a challenge, and it's something that we're never going to bat 1,000 at.
Yeah.
But it's something that hopefully by God's grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we get better at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of fear of man during Christmas time. There's a lot. I mean, it's, I liken it to an onion. Once you think you got that top layer off, there's another layer underneath, and there's another layer underneath.
That's true. With onions and with Christmas.
We're like sinful onion.
Mm. I feel like onions are sinful. You don't even have to preface it, but yeah.
Onions are delicious.
No, they're not.
But no, on a serious note, I mean, yesterday's sermon was, conviction city for me. It was there's a pastor that says, if you can't say amen, say ouch. And that very much was a gut punch or a throat punch, one of the two, whatever you prefer.
Hmm. And, I don't prefer either, actually, but yeah.
I mean, well, it still hurts. Yesterday's sermon for me, I agreed with very much of during Christmas time, it feels to me like a dumping water on a grease fire. Obviously the fire is still going. There's a constant pull of our flesh, to make other things our God. And that idolatry, that would draw our affections away from Christ. And you couple that with the Christmas season that says, you're not complete unless you have X, Y, and Z, unless you have the new car, that's in the driveway with a bow on it, or you have, there's a sign I saw, when I was driving down Ottawa Hills, saying it's engagement season, there's a constant, propaganda, almost, I would even call it, from the culture and the world saying, when you get this, then you'll really be living life.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll really kind of have it. Mm-hmm. You've arrived. And not realizing that those things that we find value in life in not only are not going to fulfill us, but they're also leading us not only astray, but to eternal damnation and by sin. So, and it's easy to have these things. I mean, being a man just graduated college, not in a career yet, it's easy to have the thoughts of not being in a career, not making six figures, like I should have everything put together. It's easy to look at the world and find the lack rather than look to Christ. And so, with all that being said, I think you mentioned it as well, that the holiday season intensifies it because it's more in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And without this perfect Christmas or where everyone in the family is together and that everything's going to go smoothly and that, you can, again, the traditions that we have all the traditions that we need and we've done all those. There's a lot of things riding on the Christmas season that I think we put a lot of our hope into. So in all of that, I say all that to ask this, how do we, in the acidity of the culture that we live in, that's very materialistic, and how do we keep Christ the center? How do we, when the world is telling us that we don't have what we really need, especially when they're trying to sell us things.
Yeah.
How do we keep Christ the center of where we need to be going?
Yeah.
The center.
Sure, sure. There's an entire multi-billion-dollar industry that is dedicated to making us feel incomplete.
Yeah.
You know?
And they always have the cure for us.
They do, but it's the different. It's not the cure forever. It's just the cure till the next thing comes out.
Of course. But especially the iPhone.
Apple's really good at that. Yeah. and they fool me all the time, man. But how do we keep our hearts wrapped up in Christ, especially in Christmas, where it goes from like a little 13-inch black and white TV the rest of the year, the idolatry, and then all of a sudden it's now on an IMAX screen. It seems like it just gets turned way up, and
because it's always there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It just feels like it gets a lot more intense, or we can see it a lot more clearly. And I think the answer to that is what we do the rest of the year. It's just being super intentional about, as Christians, you know, we know what our spiritual disciplines are, hopefully, and if not, hopefully this will be helpful. But beginning every day in the Word is sounds very cliche, but it's because it's really true. It's never a bad thing to start your day in the Word. It's always a good thing. I never, you know, on days, and I don't do this every day. I should. I wish I did. But on days when I don't, you know, I notice. And on days that I do, I never feel regret about waking up a little early to do that, you know. So just spending the day, dedicating it to the Lord, saying, you know, God, this is your day. You've given me another day to breathe, another day to be here. And so I want to serve you. So through prayer, through reading the Word, just getting our hearts just focused on Christ and the things above. I think another thing too is being intentional about the conversations that you're in. and what you allow into your head. For me, I try to turn off as many of those channels as I can, where I'm not watching a bunch of commercials on TV that are showing me the things that promise what they'll never deliver on. I think that allowing your friends to speak into your life and speak into their lives, just having a real vulnerable, open, you know, no conditions about what people can bring to you. That's super helpful. If you've been talking about, you know, getting your wife that new Lexus, but, you know, you're not giving to the church, you know, maybe it's time to check your heart, as John Christ would say. And kind of in a real practical way, too, because you're going to be going into a lot of different places, whether it's family gatherings, you know, office, Christmas parties, you know, neighbors' houses, things like that. And I think going in with the mindset of a missionary instead of going in with the mindset of a consumer, you know, not what can I get out of this, or who can I impress, or, you know, does my hair look good, or did I wear this shirt at the last party, or just, you know, kind of goofy things like that. Going in and saying, you know, God, how can you use me here? Not that you got to go in with a stack of Bible tracts and you know, your sandwich board and your megaphone, which if you did, I mean, at you my should. House, that'd actually be kind of fun to watch. But just going in and, you know, being 2 Corinthians 5, you know, we no longer regard anyone according to the flesh, that everyone has a soul, that everyone needs the gospel, that we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is somebody who speaks on behalf of a king or a political leader. Ours just happens to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that we are ministers of reconciliation, that you know, that we actually bring a ministry anywhere we go, because we want everyone to be reconciled to God through faith in Christ. It's really hard to be consumeristic when there's a missionary mindset, in the same way that it's hard to feel entitled when you're thankful.
Yeah.
You know, you can't feel entitled to something that you're thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just ways of even kind of putting up barriers to our own attitudes, to our own, you know, natural tendencies, by saying, no, God's way is better than my way, you know, and anything where my desires compete with God's desires, remembering who is more faithful, remembering who is more wise and loving, and then, you know, admitting whose desires make more sense, even if they don't make sense.
Yeah.
So that's the best I got. I feel like if we can do that, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah. And I mean, as you're talking, Deuteronomy 9 came to my mind. So this is Moses talking to the nation of Israel. And it says, Deuteronomy 9:26 says, I prayed to the Lord, Lord God, do not annihilate your people, your inheritance whom you redeemed through your greatness and brought out of Egypt with a strong hand. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Disregard this people's stubbornness and their wickedness and sin. Otherwise, those in the land you brought us from will say, because the Lord wasn't able to bring them into the land he had promised them, and because he hated them, he brought them out to kill them in the wilderness. And really, that is our condition, that we think that we know better than the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We think that when God is removing the nation of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, that it's to bring us out into the wilderness just to kill us.
Right.
And his ways were obviously not to kill them, but their hard-heartedness, their stubbornness, they forgot the servants, they forgot what the Lord had done, and all the Lord had done. And so I think very much so, lacking the gratefulness of that. The reality is we don't deserve anything good. We deserve eternal separation from the King of Glory. And we would, as Jeff Durbin would say, would, if we could, spit at the very clouds. And God yet gives us grace.
Mm.
So I think that I couldn't agree more. I think having our hearts be informed by the gratitude of Christ giving us not what we deserve, but mercy, an abundance of grace.
Yeah.
Definitely would be keeping one from thinking that they're entitled.
Sure.
So yeah, I 100% agree. Wise words.
You've been listening to the Glass City Church Podcast. For more content or more information about Glass City Church, visit our website at www.glasscitychurch.org.